Thank you, Anthea. We now have a prayer of confession. Let us pray. In the quietness, let us examine our hearts and confess our sins to God and the ways we might have been sinned against. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the tomb, you have given us the sure sign of your power to deliver us from sin and death and to renew your whole creation. We confess that we still fall into doubt and fear. We continue to cling to selfish ways and doubt your power to make all things new. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Heal us where we have been wronged. Raise us today again from the death of sin, that we may live with Christ in the joy of his resurrection, now and forever. Speak your words of light and life and peace over each one of us now, that we might know you and love you more and more. Amen. The text for my sermon this morning is John chapter 20, verse 31. In the verse, John underlines the purpose of his gospel, written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. And as we explore this evening encounter, I just want to draw out from the text just three aspects of that life in his name for you today. Firstly, John tells us how the living presence of Jesus Christ breaks into locked places. And we're going to put a picture on the screen of a locked door. John wrote, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them." The risen Christ seeks his friends on that Easter evening. And no doors locked or padlocked could keep him out, for his body had changed into a form we cannot understand, where he was real, but also he could move freely from one place to another without hindrance. I'm reminded of that game, hide and seek. His friends were hiding that day, but Jesus sought them out and found them just where they are. I wonder today whether your heart is like this. Are you living with locked-in fears? Those locked doors are a metaphor, a picture of the kind of locked-in fear within a human heart, where doors are closed, keys turn in locks, bolts are drawn, to keep us doubly safe. And we, like the disciples, have done the closing, the locking, and the bolting to protect ourselves. But in doing so, fears of our past, fears of our present, and fears for our future keep us locked in and hold us prisoner. Keep us captive. And yet, despite this, the risen Lord comes and finds us. His risen life beckons us with something greater. Changing that picture for a moment from the locked doors to a stone that has not been moved. Listen to these words of Irene Mary Brignall, which highlight our need. She writes, "A moss-covered stone near a garden wall, still, green, damp, has lain for years untouched, moulded into the landscape, a covering provided by nature for tiny creatures bedded into soft earth. Lift the stone, and all the tiny creatures scurry to flee the light and the disturbance and the intrusion into their safe known world. A similar kind of stone can lie deep in the human heart, covering a multitude of hurts and sorrows, deeply buried beneath that stone. A mysterious hand can move this stone and uncover all that lies hidden there, shining his light into our darkness. The power that moves the hand to move this stone is the same power that moved another stone in a garden tomb a long time ago in Jerusalem. This same hand is still reaching out to us to heal all that lies buried beneath our stone." Will you pray today, "Come, Lord, through the locked doors. Come move the heavy stone. Shine your light. Will you come into my heart, Lord Jesus? There is room for you. Will you come into that particular situation that is on my heart that only I know about? Will you come into my worry? Will you come into my sickness? Will you come into my work problem? Will you even come into my happiness and make it even more joyous? Will you move the stone? Will you break through?" Life in his name means his risen presence and love driving away our fears. Don't go home from church today with fears in your heart. Let his love come and wash them away. He comes to you. Secondly, John tells us here how the risen Christ speaks words of peace. He speaks words of peace. And that's our next slide. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." hear his word of peace for you today. I always think it's amazing what Jesus chose to say, or more importantly, what he chose not to say after he came back from the dead. Would he speak to his disciples about how they had deserted him in his hour of need, when he needed them most? No. Would he criticize their faithlessness? No. Would he speak words of retribution for those who took his life? No. There's a story told of a town that put on its own Good Friday procession. And the man who was chosen to play Jesus was a great, big, strong, burly truck driver. He was far from the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He wore the crown of thorns upon his head and he dragged the heavy wooden cross through the streets. And another tough guy played the part of the Roman centurion, and he really got into his part. As the truck driver playing Jesus walked by, the centurion was aggressive towards him. He hit him. He even spat on him. And it was more than the actor playing Jesus could take. And he turned round and he shouted at that centurion, "I'll be back to deal with you after the resurrection." Well, of course, Jesus did come back after the resurrection, but he didn't speak like that. He didn't speak about revenge. He spoke about peace, a word of peace. In fact, in that passage, it was spoken there three times. I think Jesus is trying to say something to them and to us. He speaks a word of peace to the troubled, heavy heart, a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that the world cannot understand, a peace that surpasses all other kinds of peace. Listen for his word to you today. Peace be with you. He dealt with his disciples with grace and gentleness. And Thomas was no exception, although Thomas had missed out on that first Easter evening encounter. The passage goes on, a week later, Thomas was there. And Thomas was not condemned by Jesus for his doubts, or his earlier absence, or his refusal to believe unless he could see and touch. Christ welcomed him, and Thomas's faith was drawn out. I don't know if Thomas had to put his hand in Jesus's side or touch his hands or his feet. It doesn't say that he did. Just that word of assurance might have just been enough to have seen him there and fall down and confess, "My Lord and my God." I want to say that today of Jesus, and I hope you want to do the same in your heart, to fall on your knees and say, "My Lord and my God, take my unbelief, give me belief in you." And then Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Christ was sent by his Father in the power of the Spirit to spread the gospel of forgiveness and reconciliation. And in this moment, the risen Lord commissions his disciples again and sends them out of that locked room in the same way, with the same power and the same message, to tell of this life in his name. He breathed on them the breath of heaven and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. It's a hard teaching. What does it mean? I believe God alone can forgive sins. I don't think he was deputizing that power to the disciples. But as his witnesses, as the church, we can and must proclaim God's forgiveness and freedom to this world. But here is the warning, I think, that Jesus is saying, when we don't do that because we're timid or afraid or disobedient, when we don't do that and the good news is kept to ourselves, then isn't it more likely that people will be retained in their sins because they haven't heard, because we haven't said? So let us keep on offering forgiveness to others. So the risen Christ comes through locked doors. He speaks words of peace. And thirdly and finally, he shows his wounded hands and side. In pointing to his wounds, Jesus wasn't saying, look what they did to me. Rather, he was saying, look what I did for you. Look what I did for you. These are wounds of love, awful wounds, terrible thing. And perhaps the only man-made thing we shall see in paradise, the wounds of the nails, the spear, the crown of thorns. Look what I have done for you, for the world. And if we are truly to know life in his name and bring that to other people, we're going to have to be willing to keep our eyes open and see and touch the places of suffering today, where Christ is still being crucified, where those who are wounded today through their suffering, hearts, their lives, their minds bear the nail prints of suffering today. His wounds are appalling, as theirs are. But church, we cannot turn away and say, I can't do anything, or I can't look, I can't bear to look. Christ invites us to reach out and touch the places of suffering today. And in doing so, touch Christ himself. May we see and touch the wounds of Christ in our wounded communities, in our wounded church, in our wounded families, seeking solidarity with those who suffer and point them to the risen Lord, who is forever crucified, but has life to offer and hope. This is life in Jesus' name. So let us take these truths with us today. The risen Christ breaks through locked doors. He comes to your heart and mind today, driving away our fears. The risen Christ speaks words of peace to us and to our warring world. And the risen Christ shows wounds of love for a wounded world and invites us to go and see and touch and heal where people suffer. Jesus says to you, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. And may you know that blessing falling on you today. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have come to believe in the Messiah, the Son of God. May you know that life through his name and share it this week. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we reflect on God's personal word for us today. Let us pray. Lord, we would confess with our lips and our lives. You are here, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal and the grace to forgive. Come and do a new work in our hearts today, that we might be set free. Amen.